Welcome, RFR, and welcome here, and thank you for being with us the whole day here. Welcome to Transport colleagues. Let's do it the way we did it during the day. I think it was very interesting how we were so straightforward. Probably now, because it's a casualty graveyard session, RFR will have a proper, a very good one, because no one, people are now tired after a long stretch, a long day. We have seen two SOEs this morning. We are the third one this evening. And hopefully, we should be able to really do good work. Very interesting is that we have categorized all the regulatory bodies to just say how do we make sure that at least somewhere there will be signage and we are able to complement one another despite the fact that it may be road, regulatory or rail. Critical is that you are a regulatory function, all of you. GM, through you, let me put back to yourself and say we are ready as a portfolio committee to listen to RSR. Through yourself, GM, thank you.
Thank you. We indeed have our railway sector regulator to present its strategic plan and other performance plan. And we're happy to have the CEO and, of course, a member of the board and, of course, the staff from the RSR and the branch right from the department. And I think I don't want to waste time to see them next. And we'll therefore hand over to either the member of the board or the CEO to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. CEO, member of the board, please go.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm going to be short. Mr. Poya will touch on all the other session, please. From our side, just as a board, we've put forward our strategic direction going forward. And our vision is obviously that we expand to have zero occurrences within the railway environment. So what we've done, we have five areas that we're focusing on in the next 5 years. These would be the level crossing occurrences, the mainline derailments, platform and train interface, human factors. Those are the ones that focuses on the human behavior or the driver behavior. People struck by trains, mostly if you look at that, it will be trespassing. So we are focusing on these occurrences to ensure that there is a significant reduction in fatalities and serious injuries and or disablements. And through our analysis, we've confirmed that most of these areas that I've mentioned just now have accounted for 80% of the occurrences and fatalities within the railway system. So as a way to support these efforts, we've analyzed the behavior of the safety critical grades. Those would include either your train drivers and some of the positions that are responsible for making critical decisions. And we're of the view that if we develop a regulation that governs the licensing of these critical grades, that will assist in changing the behavior of employees. In short, what that means is that we want to ensure that all the critical grades, there's a standard applied like in the aviation sector, where drivers in critical grades undergo the same training, the same assessments, the same psychosocial analysis in terms of how they behave on the railways. And then we've then directed Praga to start a driver behavior process in terms of the assessment that they must conduct, and then we'll use that data to assist us for our decision-making processes as well. And we're also concerned about the lack of personal safety on board moving train within the system. This matter is also receiving attention as it deserves, and we'll, during the next year we will issue a regulation on security that will ensure increased visibility of security personnel. And then shortly, just on the revenue, most of us know that we depend on two systems, especially the government grant and the permit fee. So What we realize that because the grant is not going to increase, we've largely depended on the permit fee to support us in terms of our decision making. So we've engaged the indices, and now if we look at what we've done over the last year, we've increased our permit fee, the revenue from 20 million network from 11-12 financial year to 100 million in this 2015 financial year. That is actually 5 times more. And this will allow us as a regulator to sustain ourselves in terms of operations for the near future. We know that the cake is getting smaller, so we need to increase our efforts in terms of our income streams. So in the next 3 years, we are proposing increases of 20% to 30% year-on-year on permit fees to support the RSR's business. Obviously, we're going to engage the industry, and we'll make sure that there's a lot of consultation. We've done that even in this financial year, the 2013-14 financial year, when we start developing the new permit fee. And then on the human resources that support the work of the RSR, we understand that the staff, they add value to our operations and they're part of how we're going to make an impact in the business. So to achieve our overall objectives, we're going to then strengthen our human resources and capacity around that. So we are happy to announce that we're going to increase our overall staff complement to more than 160 during the year. At the moment, we have about 132, but we're looking at mostly at engineers and technical staff. The organization is a high technical organization and has to compete with skills with that are in demand with Praza, Transnet, and other emerging businesses and other regulators as well. And we are happy to announce that we have retained our staff in the last 4 years, and we have a very low turnover rate on the overall of less than 5% year-on-year. Then in conclusion, as a board of the RSR, we believe that the direction we are taking the organization will ensure a greater impact on the number of fatalities and injuries, and we currently have more than 400 fatalities on the railway system on an annual basis, and we believe that this figure can be drastically and significantly reduced in this new approach, and it will take the organization to new heights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO. As you will be starting to take us further, if you can introduce the staff that you are with.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to introduce the member of the board that is representing the Chairperson unfortunately has submitted her apologies and she could not make it unfortunately today. We've got, Natalie is representing the Chairperson. Natalie Skeppers is our Chairperson of our City Committee, our Operational Committee within the board, and she's representing the board. To the furthest left, we've got Mpule Pizzo. She is the acting CFO at this moment. And then also what we have next to me is, who we have next to me is Tebo Khari. She is the Chief Operation Officer. That is with me here today. My apologies, sir. Myself, Nkululeko Kopoya, the CEO of the Rail Safety Regulator. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We do have a presentation, and I will go through that particular presentation. If we can move to the next. Then I've got the table of contents. We have the introduction, the strategic plan, and the financial information that we will be going through. So in terms of the introduction, Chair, I think what we're saying is that to the committee, the strategy is an ongoing process with enriching ideas, improving contracts and initiatives, and making execution happen and get results. That is what we believe the strategy is all about. And we've been in the strategic approach as a regulator, and prior to 2013-14 financial year, we are more interested or driven by what we call a compliance-driven strategic approach. This, in essence, looked at, it was a short-sighted approach. We didn't believe it could, it looked at only the input process activity or output. It was more outputly focused. It focused on departmental contributions, and it also encouraged, in our view, silo mentality. There was no differentiation between strategic, technical, and operational targets within our strategy to analyze it. We also could not demonstrate intended impact. So out of that strategy, we could not clearly identify intended impact. It was also inwardly, most of the targets were inwardly focused objectives, and it effectively produced a reactive strategy. That's what prior 2013-14 2014 in terms of analysis. During the 14-15 financial year, our strategy was premised on outcome-based management, but we have more collaborative approach. So we're moving away from output-based to collaborative approach. It differentiated between strategic, tactical, and operational targets. It looked at, it was more output focused and paid attention to risk in the external environment. It had greater emphasis on collaboration and interdepartmental work. In other words, within the departments, we're looking at interdependencies and synergies to be able to achieve what we need to do. So that we look at the overall system. It also provides it provided a basic architecture for good governance in relation to that analysis of the 14-15. Now that 14-15 strategy was more of a transition strategy in our view. Obviously, we already knew when we were developing the strategy that by the 15-16 financial year, we need to have a risk-based approach in terms of our strategy. So this strategy that we're presenting today, Chair, on behalf of the board, is focused also on a risk approach in relation to the overall strategy. So one of the elements of the strategy is that it also focuses on strategy execution. How do we ensure that the strategy that we want to derive, we execute effectively? It also has a higher focus on external impact. And obviously what you're saying is that, you know, the critical issues that our strategy is focusing on in terms of the impact is a very creation. The issue of stakeholder engagement. We've taken note that our stakeholders are very important, and therefore stakeholder engagement and getting overall feedback from our stakeholders on how we're doing the work is critically important. And also understanding what we call risk landscape. What are we trying to regulate? What are we trying to do? What impact are we trying to achieve overall? And that's what our strategy is looking at. We're saying also it reflects and demonstrates integrated thinking. So we're saying it cannot be silo mentality approach. It needs to be an integrated approach to whatever is what we're doing, and obviously there's also integrated thinking within our strategy. Our strategy embraces complexity. It doesn't assume an approach or perspective that is in a single perspective. It looks at multiple perspectives to be able to look. It says there is no one solution to a problem. If you're looking at a system, each part of these things will add value. They might impact on it differently. But if you look at the overall system, they all impact in making sure that we achieve our overall effect that we want. Which then means we need to look at the system approach. In whatever we're doing, we need to always be thinking about the overall system, which the system is the entire relay system. How do we make sure that that system is impacted positively so that we can be able to show the impact? This slide just tries to depict effectively what I've said in the last 5 minutes in a graphical representation of in the y-axis the time and in the x-axis the impact of change. What we're saying is that over time, we have belief in the strategy, which is the 5-year strategy. And over time, we have moved 2014, 2015, and believe we will stay in that landscape or the risk landscape. We'll be able to look at communities, we'll look at rail corridors, and you will see right through the strategy that looking at corridors. We look at communities, we look at corridors, within that we identify the risks and what impacts and ultimately are our activities that we want to do to be able to drive the impact that we actually want. Underlying all of this that I've actually said is what we call the triangle, which is the well-known triangle we talked about. You need to look at these three elements if you want to create any impact in the overall landscape around safety. Engineering, which in our view is the investment in rail technologies, the current investments that are going on in the country, is the issue of education, the issue of promotion of safety at all levels within our communities, and changing the behavior of the communities to be able to achieve that. It's also the enforcement, in terms of our enforcement arm within the regulator, to be able to mitigate those risks. And what we're obviously looking at is that there needs to be proper leadership that is promoted, but also the culture is very important to be able to drive all of those three pillars to be able to move forward. Ultimately, what we're then looking at is that when we did all of this and looked at the external environment and what we need to do, we categorize our strategy into 4 pillars. Those 4 pillars are our fundamental pillars that we believe will give us what we ultimately want to achieve, which is our vision, which is what we aspire to achieve, zero occurrences. It's an aspiration. Our belief is that we ultimately probably will never achieve zero kerosene, because somewhere along the way, there's a cost-benefit analysis that needs to be done. And obviously, it's impossible at some point to achieve no occurrences within the system. But what is most important is that if you derive that and you say you achieve and you aspire to achieve, you might have occurrences, but we believe you can probably eliminate fatalities within the particular system that we actually have. So we also say strategic alignment and collaboration. It's like a roof on top of this house that we have to be able to achieve what we want to achieve. We need to have alignment and we need to have effective collaboration with all stakeholders and all concerned. And what we're also saying as a fundamental basis for this structure of ours that we're building is that we obviously have the legal framework, we've got the MTSF objectives, and also obviously our shareholders' objectives, which is the DOT strategic goals and objectives which we have looked at, and we make sure that they assist us in relation to those overall pillars that we actually have. Our strategy, we've got the vision, our mission is outlined, but I think what I want to spend a little bit of time on is on our values. We believe this is something that we as a regulator have looked at, and we believe those values will drive behavioral change within our organization and within our people, so that our people are the ones that derive what values they want to agree on and what we hold each other as the employees of the regulator to. And those values are integrity and trust, transparency, fairness and equity, innovation, and most importantly, a sense of agency. Those are the values. What we then expand on is our strategy levers and what we call drivers for our change. Which drivers will allow us to be able to achieve the zero occurrences that we want to achieve in every vision? What we've then taken is the overall 7 SPEs, and we've expanded them. This model has been developed, and each and every one of the ASAR's employees will have this. It's a wheel. You can turn it. In other words, if you can know what you want for a person to do, to be able to say, I want to achieve zero occurrences, but I'm looking at issues of race security. When you're looking at race security, from what perspective are you looking at? I'm looking at it from a regulatory perspective, or I'm looking at it from a corridor perspective. And when you go to that corridor, we then say that you turn the wheel, which is the outer edge of the wheel, and you look at the 7 E's. What are you going to do then to achieve the zero occurrence? From a corridor perspective, for the race security, I will be doing education, or will be doing enforcement, or will I be engaging, or will I be empowering, or will I be engineering? And those are the things that we do, and we've ultimately worked with. And the wheel allows us to be able to, for people to leave the strategy and focus the strategy. And every day when they're doing something, the strategy doesn't become something in the high in the sky. It becomes a day-to-day thing. Because we're going to ask you how this impacts on the overall ASAR strategy. And that person with the wheel should be able to answer that question. And if they can't, they should not do that activity because it's going to value the overall organization and it's not going to assist us to achieve what we want to ultimately achieve. Next up. Then let's break down Chair, President of the Portfolio Committee and the Deputy Minister of ultimately the breakdown in terms of our annual targets. One of our strategic pillars, which is the risk in the railway landscape, has been mitigated. We've got various elements of that we've touched on. The first one is obviously to secure sufficiency of safety-related and critical competencies in the railway industry. Effectively, what we told ourselves we're going to focus on is the certification of train drivers. As Natalie has mentioned earlier, that the issue of human factors and the human factor behavior, the behavior of the train drivers, we believe we'll be able to change that behavior through licensing and certification of those train drivers and other safety critical trains. But in this year, we're focusing on 1,000 train drivers that we'll be certifying, and that's our target for the year. The next one is mitigate human factor risk under the same pillar. We are looking at ultimately a reduction. That's our strategy in 5 years. We are seeing what the regulator in the next 5 years on the percentage of compliance of human factor standard that is in the industry. And I think one of the ultimate activities that we will achieve in the year is that the 113 Class A operators. Class A operators are those operators. The RSR, maybe we'll explain it this way, the RSR has 347 operators that we are regulating. So out of the 327 operators that were rated, 130 of those are what we call Class A operators. There are three classes of operators in terms of category, and obviously they are classified in terms of risk. These ones, obviously, are big operators. The class as your transit will be in this Class A. And all the most of the mining houses will be in the Class A because of the length of network that they have. So we're going to be looking at 9 of the 13 elements that we have in terms of a human factor standard. We are saying 100% compliance with those 9 elements. And this comes from when the standard was published in 2011. There was an agreement between ourselves and the industry that we will have a 5-year implementation plan. And 5 years is next year. And we have been saying we expect 70% compliance in this year with overall in terms of the human factor standard. Now, we've defined 70% as 9 out of 13. In other words, 9 elements out of the 13 elements of the standard will be delivered in terms of this particular financial year. 92 human, the audits that we're going to do to support our overall environment, which is the 92 human factor audit conducted. That's what we'll actually be looking at. Then the other one is, I think this is just straight from our state of safety report, which we submitted to Parliament. This is a graph that shows you a trend, a reduction trend. It says we had about 181 incidents or occurrences in the 2009-10 financial year. We have managed to bring those occurrences to 119 in the 13-14 financial year, at the end of that, which is end of March last year. Fatalities or injuries, those are the numbers that we have. But what is probably of importance is that you can see all of those three categories, there has been a reduction. But what we are saying as regulator, that reduction is not enough. So what we're saying, it might be 18 people that perished, that lost their lives in the 13-14 financial year, in terms of labor crossings. But we say there's 18 people too many. So what we're ultimately saying as regulator, those 119, those 66 injuries, those people, some of them might be permanently disabled. And that's why they cannot live a normal life. So what the ultimate is saying, that's not enough. And that's why we're introducing new systems. And we have taken the Deputy Minister to show what we are piloting in terms of the engineering leg. Of what we're doing, using systems and engineering approach to be able to make level crossings a lot more safer. So that there's a lot better detection within the particular level crossing itself. And we believe that we can drive that even lower. In terms of the overall incident that takes place, it might look small, but I believe as a regulator that should go down. Remember, we aspire for zero occurrences, and that's what we're ultimately saying. So even 119 occurrences is 119 too many. Next one. Then, obviously, as Natalie has mentioned, that one of the elements, remember we said there are 5 elements that we're looking at in terms of our strategy, and we believe, the board believes, and we all believe that it's the 80-20 principle. If we target those 5 areas, we'll be able to achieve 80% impact in the overall system. And we because we've analyzed and looked at that, we believe that it's 100%. So what we're looking at in the baseline is that it's 119 river crossing occurrence. So what we're saying, we'll look at hotspot analysis. In other words, we'll analyze all of the hotspots and we know them, we've identified them, we have analyzed them, and we'll be able to make sure that we do greater analysis in relation to the hotspot. There's also 13 level crossing investigations that will be conducted. Out of the top 10 level crossings, the Achilles incident, like in the northwest, in Palanga, in the Eastern Cape, some of the areas that we know already, we will do 13 level crossing investigations in those areas so that we're able to get to the root cause of some of this particular problem, so that we're not only looking at the immediate causes. But also, we will be conducting inspections on 70 level crossing inspections conducted. You might ask yourself a question and say, okay, maybe how many level crossings do we have as a country? We've got 8,000 level crossings. But 8,000 level crossings, but there's only about 70 level crossings that are the culprits. In other words, they give the stats year on year. They've got the injuries in terms of people year on year, and therefore if you look at the 80-20 principle, If you look at those, we believe you'll be able to significantly reduce the overall incidence that we're actually looking at. And that's why the 7 level crossing inspection, instead of looking at inspections overall out of the 8,000 level crossings we have countrywide. The next element, I think, that I've mentioned is the issue of the people being struck by train. Now, most of the time, probably when you are hit by a train, you perish. In other words, that's why you have the fatalities more and less injuries. So you got 394 in 1314 in terms of the fatalities, and injuries have reduced. Now, this is the one stat, but if you look at 2008-2009 financial year, we're sitting at 341. We have not been able to reduce. You can't see a reduction trend. Now, obviously, we've done an analysis as to why that is. One of the biggest problems for us is the issue of open access. In other words, what is the people call it fencing, but we call it management of railway reserves. Because it's not just about fencing. It's the overall management of special planning, engagement with municipalities, making sure that those corridors are managed and properly effectively managed, including, obviously, the issue of fences that need to be put up in those particular corridors. Because, obviously, more and more, I think we've seen in terms of the state, there's more urbanization. So as people come from the rural areas to the heartland, the economic heartland of this country, obviously they stay close to what form of transport that will take them easier to town. And that's the rail. And therefore, nobody wants to stay very far from the rail system, and therefore Cape Town, they'll come closer to Khayelitsha and some of those particular areas. And obviously they will use then the train. But then what the system has not done, which is what we analyze, the system has not been able to adapt or at least react to the behaviors of the people. And we're saying we need to look at that so that we're able to reduce the number of incidents that are taking place within this particular area. And overall, in the 13-14 financial year, we had 588 incidents. And one of the things that we're looking at is the issue of the publishing of the railway reserves a regulation. Now that process is underway. In actual fact, very soon in May, that regulation will be submitted to DOT, and there will be engagements with the legal team within DOT so that that regulation is published during the course of the year, because it's critical and important for that to be published before we can see significant impact that's made. Also, we'll look at occurrence investigations, but also do inspections in the high-risk corridors. We've already identified which of those corridors are. We've analyzed what exactly is happening in those corridors, and we know which areas we need to look at so that we're able. One of the other things that we will be doing is engagement of NGOs in this particular area. In other words, we know that we can get through communities a lot better, not only being asked to do that on our own, but also use the other community organizations that are out there that do the same thing so that we can get the awareness and education, which is the other pillar. And education that we want in relation to that. And that's what we're focusing on, and partnership with non-governmental organizations so as to be able to support our programs in terms of what we're actually moving forward with. The next one is the issue of mainline development. That's the third element that we've talked about. Mainline development, I think you can see that we have put a lot of effort as a regulator in obviously working very closely with our operators to drive those, and you can see a trend, a reduction trend in terms of that graph that we have been able to impact as regulator over the last 5 years. But we still believe there can be significant reductions in those, and that relates to issues of asset maintenance. I think on the wheel that I showed earlier, you would have seen outside of those zero occurrence, one of the four pillars that outside of that was the issue of asset maintenance. It was rail security, it also had asset maintenance. We believe if you maintain your assets, you will significantly drop, you maintain your assets effectively and efficiently. You will be able to significantly drop the 208 mainline derailments that we're actually talking about. And by saying we're going to be doing as a regulator now, we'll look at issues of 182 asset maintenance inspections. Now those maintenance inspections also look at the supply chain of the... In other words, the issue of maintenance is about your buying, your sourcing strategies. Where are you buying from? Because components in rail, you can't say, I want a rail component tomorrow, and you think you're going to order it today and it's going to come in 2 weeks' time. It doesn't happen that way. It leads you to plan longer, long-term planning, for you to know what we are looking at. And what we are saying when we're doing the asset maintenance inspection, we want to see that people have planned, they've put thought in it, they've got the contracts in place that are long-term. Because if those contracts are not in place, you're going to be running trains and you're going to be killing people. Because you're going to run trains and you're not going to maintain the track, and then you're ultimately going to be killing people. And that's one of the elements that we're looking at. I think later on you will hear us talking about putting together a regulation to regulate what we call safety critical components of the railway system. Because we believe if you don't maintain those properly, it's well known around the world. Those maintenance activities that need to be correct, you need to buy the correct parts, buy them from the right people, and make sure that you put them correctly. It's 18 occurrence investigations that we're going to conduct, specifically on Pairway, that's the track, and the rolling stock, in terms of related developments. Next one. This is now the second pillar, which is the pillar that talks about railway safety effectively promoted. The first element of the pillar, Jefferson, is for us to create awareness that can lead to a type of safety. So we're saying we need to change the way people behave, and we need to create awareness to the communities to be able to change how the culture of safety and what people do and what behaviors they do around the railway system. And we're looking at 20 awareness campaigns in relation to that so that we need to engage the community. Also, we're saying we need to create and promote awareness of the financial impact. Because sometimes we convert things into reason sense. It makes sense to certain people. It makes sense to chief financial officer. It makes sense to business people once they start to see the impact in terms of reason sense. Because sometimes when you say to people, a change of behavior, they don't understand it. But when you start talking to them in terms of the financial impact, that means quantifying both the direct and the indirect benefits of running a safe operation. And that's what we're actually saying. And one of the things that we obviously will be doing during this year is, as part of the project for that, is what we call regulatory impact assessments conducted. And that will be completed during the course of this particular year. The risk of new works and technology developments, even though technology developments are good and proper, but if they are done in a manner that is not correct, new technologies, because remember, you must look at the system. It's a system approach that you must look at. So taking one piece of the system and plugging something new, it might at face value look like something small. But because of how the system works, it might be a significant impact to the overall system. Now, our technology review department that we have within the organization looks at what we call life cycle management. It looks at the entire life cycle of what you are bringing as a product, supporting of that product. If you're bringing commuter trains, we want to know who's going to maintain them, what contracts are going to be in place, how is the skill set of those people to maintain them, what is going to happen. We also, in the process, engage with South African Bureau of Standards in terms of their acts, and we engage with them in relation to that. That also some of the areas of how we make sure that we keep the issue of technology reviews going, but also making sure that whatever new technologies that are brought in by operators, they don't impact negatively on the system as it stands, but they add value to the system in terms of what they need to do. We're obviously looking at the regulation on what we call the new proposed construction of operation or operation developed in relation to that, which is what we call new works. The other element, I think, which is the fifth element, if I'm counting right, is what is called the platform train interface. Remember, we're talking about the five areas of focus. This is the fifth area of focus, which is the platform train interface. We are saying, if you look at that graph on your y-axis, it's got the occurrence, a million passenger movements, for million train passengers. At the bottom of that is showing you, obviously, the different colors, which is the incidence, that one in blue. In green is the vertical gap, the gap between the train itself and the platform. The other one is showing you the commuters. The purple is showing it's the commuter per 10,000. That's what it's showing you. On the z-axis, which is on the right, is what the commuters and the gap. In other words, the number of commuters in terms of that per 1,000, that's also the gap. So when you see that number of 12, it's multiplied by 10,000 at that particular station. So if we take Pretoria Station, we've got Pretoria Station, it shows you that there's a vertical gap of 2 centimeters. That's what it's showing. But effectively what it does, that we know these gaps, we know where they are, we have inspected them and we are clear. We obviously know where the incidents are. If you look at Kalfontein, Kalfontein already shows you that there's a lot of incidents at Kalfontein. And then without any doubt, if you go to Kalfontein, Kalfontein originally was not a junction station. It was not what it is at the moment. The platform is so low at Kalfontein. So during crowding and during overcrowding, what happens, people push each other. And they ultimately then end up being injured. That's why it's important that the platform needs to act correctly against the rail train profile. Now that issue is also a lack of maintenance issue. So technically there's an area of saying the platforms, yes, maybe there's an issue of upgrades, they're not there, but sometimes it's an issue of lack of freeway maintenance. Because all they can do is just clean and lower the platform. I was jet screening, and people will come and will tell us, no, but we're waiting for the machines. They can use labor. So effectively, labor is there. It's always been there before. You can use labor until you get the machines. But you can reduce and make sure that that incident has been significantly dropped. So we've done that analysis, and obviously we're focusing on those during the course of the year. What we're saying is that, first of all, even though we've analyzed that, one of the things that we're also looking at is whether we do know there's a problem of overcrowding. We do know that there's a problem of platforms. But platforms are overcrowding on their own. We are of the view that they should not be causing this overall challenge. What is the underlying root problem? Our assumption is that it might be the issue of scheduling of trains. Or train announcements at the platform that people don't know, or trains being delayed. Because I don't know if the next train is coming, therefore I end up pushing myself into the train that is there. But I don't know if that one is coming after 3 minutes. So that's what we're then saying with the 85 causality analysis that we're going to conduct on what you call Bataille corridors. It will give us what is the underlying problem. So that we're not talking about recessions. And during this year we'll be doing that analysis. Over and above the 10 occurrence investigations that we'll continue to do in those particular areas around platform. The fourth one for us is what is the fourth pillar? None of this that I talked about can ever happen if you don't have a sustainable or effective organization. Because as you know, that there's nothing you can do without people. So if your people are not there, they're not satisfied, they're not engaged, and you don't have proper skills or correct skill sets, none of this is going to happen. So our starting point is to say, also none of this is going to happen if our shareholder feels uncomfortable after they're giving us money and using the money incorrectly. One of the elements we measure ourselves on is the issue of unqualified audit opinion on performance information and financial statements. What we're simply saying is the KPI, adequate and effective governance, risk management and internal control systems. So that those must be in place. Because all of these things that I've mentioned before can never effectively happen in the environment where it is those things are not in place. The next one, what we're saying, you need to have revenue that generates, effective revenue that generates. And we are happy to announce that that as a regulator we'll get through the efforts of the Deputy Minister and Umasek and the Department that we will get 100 million revenue from our pen fees, which will assist go a long way to assisting us to be able to achieve what we need to achieve for the year. Also, what we're also looking at is the issue of cost recovery regulation. Our investigation, what we are saying as an element of making sure that we create a self-regulating system. If you do an incident, you know we don't know what incidents are going to be there during the year. But if you cause an accident, we think it is only fair that you pay for it. I mean, you caused it as an operator. If we as a regulator go and investigate it, I think it is proper that you pay the overall cost of doing that particular investigation. And we believe if you do that, that will be a self-regulating mechanism. Because then other people see things in random sense. So once you have an incident that has had a collision, And every time we investigate it and it costs us 3 million rand, we pass that bill to the regulator, to the operator. Very soon people are going to ask questions. Isn't this fruitless and wasteful expenditure? I mean, I'm assuming it is. It will be a self-regulating mechanism for those particular operators so that they make sure that they look at those things and therefore incidents are because they would not prevent them. And I think that's what we are actually saying as one of the strategies that we can derive as a regulator to be able to move forward. The other one is obviously what we call IMS implemented. This is a project that is funded by the department, specifically funded to be able to deliver the National Information Monitoring System. And what we're saying is that in this year, we will implement phase 3 of that system. What we've got at this moment, we've done already, I think, phase 2 and phase 1. And mainly this system, by the end of this year, would be implemented and effectively working. We're already working on that system in terms of our permits. All our permits from last year and even this year are done through the system. You apply now as an operator through the system without having any submit your documents electronically for application of the permits, which makes things a lot easier for people and how to apply, and we don't create more burdens for you in relation to that. The third element is we're saying all of these, we must remember what we originally said. We said this strategy, we must focus on strategy execution. If you have a strategy, you need to make sure that that strategy is executed. And one of our elements of ensuring that the strategy is executed, as in, I'm just going to read that objective statement. Okay, let me know. But the management quality system, I think it was there. But the management quality system that we have, we will allow us to have maturity within the organization. So we established a management quality system. It's the ISO 9004 compliance system. And it will allow us as a regulator. What we say is a 360-degree process. Plan, do, check, act. In other words, you do proper planning. You do proper deployment of your resources. You evaluate your deployment strategies in relation to that. And therefore, the fourth element is to plan action. Those things that you monitor and evaluated to change your planning process so that it becomes the overall 360-degree review process. And this is a governance excellence service delivery index. And we are saying we are willing, this is an externally assessed process. We are putting ourselves on the regulator to an external assessment where we compare ourselves against other businesses in South Africa in terms of the SDI score. And we will have people to assess, and we are saying we will have 35. In terms of the SDIs, the current baseline, I think, is sitting at 80. In terms of our, we're looking at a 5 baseline, is we starting this in terms of implementation during this particular year. We just did the assessment in the 2018-14 financial year, and we're giving ourselves a target of 85, which will ultimately take us to over the next 3 to 5 years to an area where we can have a mature organization that will be able to deliver on the overall performance, which is what we call performance excellence. Obviously, what we're expecting is constant improvement and constant change, which will give us the excellence that we want to do over the next 5 years. The financial information, I think I will, in terms of the financial information, Mampule can add, I think she can add a little bit in terms of the things, but we'll run through it very quickly. What we're saying is that we got 100 million, I've mentioned it, is the 164,709 million rand in this year that we're expecting to collect as an overall, which is including the grant, the transfers in terms of the government grant, and the capital works in terms of new works. The next slide, but I think what's more important is that it's probably the third year. The assumption that we have is that as discussed with the DOT, that permit fee will increase to over 143 million. And that would give us, we need to sustain the organization in terms of the path within which we're working on. But we've agreed that we need to move our organization so that we ultimately collect the revenues that we actually need. Next one. This is just to show, more or less, Chair, in terms of how, where the organization comes from and where we are in the 2016 financial year with 164 million rand, obviously at the support of the Deputy Minister and the Department in relation to where we are moving towards. This is just a percentage growth analysis year on year. Next one. This is just a graphical representation. I think Natalie did mention the five times growth that we have mentioned in relation to our increase in telecommunications. Just as human resources information, this is just a structure of the RSR as an organization in terms of its reporting legs. Obviously, I think what is very important, there are governance structures of the board, which are four structures of the board, and we as an organization report to those four structures, which is the safety committee, the procurement committee, the audit and risk committee, and the HR and human resources and remuneration committee, which and the ad hoc legal committee around penalty reviews, where it is necessary when people are contesting the decision of the CEO, and therefore they should do that and not add to the board in terms of the process. Yeah. And then and the ICT, I think it's important, thanks, therefore, is that the board has also decided to establish an ICT board structure, which will also ensure that there's better ICT governance within the organization so that we make sure that we get a proper direction from the board around ICT matters. In terms of staff growth, we're expecting by the end of the financial year that with the funding that we have, and I think what also needs to be well understood is that the RSR is more a people-driven organization. All of these that we're talking about can never be done without getting the necessary skills that we want. I think of reporters, we're expecting 58, 59 engineers currently. RSR at the moment is better than what it was in 11, 12, where we only have 14 engineers. We're sitting with 27 engineers at this moment, and by the end of this year, we will be sitting at 59 engineers in terms of engineering staff that we have. And growing that leg, because that's a critical leg in our inspectorate that drives our business, and we'll be having all of those. That's our distribution in terms of employment equity, in terms of male and female, and our distribution. They are sitting at about 66% of overall organization in relation to that. And we do have, and I must say this, I think it is not here, the board has approved or has told us that out of those 50 people that we want to employ, in the 15-16 financial year, what employment equity profile they should be. And we have made submission to the Department of Labor at the end of December. We were compliant. As a regulator, we submitted. And we have, and the board has been focusing at a top management level in terms of making sure that we change the complexion. RSR, because it's an engineering-driven organization, the tendency sometimes is to find it with a lot of maize. Within a certain critical positions at the end. It's not by choice sometimes, it's by, but we have made a concerted effort. And as I can say to you, Dan, is that even our chief operations officer is an engineer here. She is an engineer and she is driving as a chief operations officer the critical elements of our business. And then she will make sure that the elements that the organization has been expected to do by the board are done, and we will make sure that those top positions are filled with the people in terms of the categories that the board has identified for us that we need to meet, as we said, we'll meet in terms of the Department of Labor. And the board, and Nathan is reminding me, and the disabled. One of the things that we really have not done very well as a regulator is making sure that we have, and we do have those targets in terms of getting disabled people in particular areas, and the board has focused on that. And with those few words, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members Steya, Honourable Sibande, Kitata Makala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start with the issue of the economy. I think, I don't know, from page 34, I think the message should be 35. They are trying to maybe to give us the economic, but to me, I'm a little bit confused, because if you check about the staff complement growth, they indicate that they're supposed to have 1, 2, 3, but I can't get exactly, so that we can discuss the issue of vacancies. because there is such a draft what's supposed to be, but it doesn't explain exactly that do we have these people or not. And then also, let me go back to the presentation, and I think thank you very much about this presentation also, to thank the presenter, and then also to go to slides, some of the slides. You see, let's go to slide 2.2, to me, where you were discussing, or you're giving your input about the issue of the open press. Yeah, 2.2. Yes. While you were giving your input about the reasons of some of the things which can give some problems, some challenges, I couldn't pick up another contributing factor about the old signals. Because signals also, they can give problems in terms of accidents. And then also, our search somewhere, you were talking about, awareness. I think coupled with this 2.2, there is also the issue of vandalism, whereby people are cutting some letters, maybe rail lines for scraps. And then also the issue of cable theft, which can cause problems. If you recall very well, so when I started about the issue of sickness, the issue whereby sometimes the collision of trains where they end up going to the same line. And then also, there is this thing in terms of which I can be very much happy of if it's talk about the issue of awareness. There is those things which is like a play for kids. There are also contributions of feathers, whereby kids, the staff riders, going in and out, going top of the trains, and I never mentioned that, because they also, contribute to problems. For an example, there are another issue which can lead that for easily opening the doors of the train while the train is in motion. That's why this thing that it, by these little kids are jumping in and out of the trains. And then 4.1, you were talking about the issue of internal controls. When you talk about internal control, I mean, the findings, I think it's the findings, the issue of unqualified opinion, about the opinion. What was raised about is the issue of internal controls. What is worrying me about, you already identified the problem, but I can't get exactly whether you have exactly risk management, although that's not such a bit organogram. Because if you don't have the risk management, you are subject to a lot of challenges because of the issue of evaluation and monitoring, that which is the key. As long as you don't have that, I think it's causing a problem. And then we go to slide number 20. I'll give it to others. I'll just end at slide number 20. I think it was page 20. On page 20, about the issue of maintenance and inspection. You see, what is worrying me, I think also goes, as you also mentioned on page 23. You know, what is worrying me on this one? About the, you know, there was a system which is used in railway whereby they were using the so-called Makalanyan, those small cars, to go and monitor whether the railway is in the rail line is okay or not. And also, they had terms and references whereby if the rail is about maybe 20 kilometers, one person will operate foot down from this side and the other one from the other side to check whether the rail, there's no problem or challenges. I don't know whether you still have these people, and if you do have, are these people trained? Because what was the key challenge in the past? Some of these people are not trained. We are speaking people, elderly people, about to pension and give them to go all these distances. Those are the, some of the issues which are worrying me. I'll put it there. Or lastly, sorry, Chairperson. The issue of, you see, to me, it's killing. Somewhere else, like the thing you spoke about, 1,000 train drivers certificates. To me, it was going to be healthy if you specify that out of 1,000, how many women and how many age? Because he wanted to run away from the dependence of the past whereby males were dominating while there are people. I'll put another example as well. The issue of Abu Shenda. Those were assisting in the runway to Shenda. They will understand me proper, those who are cut from there. You see, as long we don't comply with the needs of our policies, because our policies spoke about the issue of the gender sensitiveness, that we must take gender seriously, so that's a problem. Because this 1,000 is silence. It doesn't specify who have used what 1,000 people. I'll put you there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings again to the Deputy Minister, members, and the officials. So, thanks for presentation, CEO. Question will start on the level crossings, which you said the 190 level crossings. I'm concerned about the signage in the rural areas where I'm from, Kutama areas there. There's a little messina. There's no adequate signage. Some of the signs are very, very old. They are no more reflecting. I don't know who's responsible of that or who must contact if it is the department or the municipality. The other thing in terms of this level crossings, which I want to know of, is the awareness campaign, which you said you will conduct about 20 of them. Do you think this 20 for this financial year enough for 119 level crossings, the campaign awareness about this rail safety? Because our last time, I think one of the honorable members, I think you promised that you go to the areas which are next to the rural areas, more especially in the rural areas, and using the local radios to try to conscientize the members of the public. The other one is about the accident or incident investigations. Who is investigating? Are you collaborating with the prior investigators and transnet investigators, or you did your own investigation alone, or you did in connection with them? Page 24 about the platform and train interface. It's only, I think the example we made there is only of the study you did there is only Gauteng stations. We don't know about the other stations from other provinces, and even Gauteng is more, only Johannesburg and I think and Pretoria, but it's not about the entire country, while you are responsible for the whole country study. The organigram structure, I think it was going to be nice if you could put that you are reporting to the board on the structure and the board to the ministry. The structure is without the board and without the ministry there. So it doesn't look nice. It's like an entity without... Yeah, so it must be shown that there's a leadership. The implement equity as the minister has tried to advise about the disability. I was going to ask this question, but the minister also concentrates you. And in your trying to drive the numbers there, you must also show the youth. in a how many youths are you capacitating in a company? So I think, Honorable Chair, I will pass here and give the other honorable members to entertain.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Zama Katana.
Dr. Mauzi has covered a lot of my issues, so Chair, I won't be long. Let me just ask the Morales. Well, Chair, I think the presentation, I think that it's always refreshing to get educated in some of these intricacies with a CEO that understands what it takes on this issue. I really like it. But you know, Chair, on that background there, that seven is, it says there is this zero occurrence. I must say it's fairly punchy, zero occurrence. It's using it as a punch. But we will hold to it and keep you to that zero occurrence, because that's what you want to achieve. Now, and I don't say change it, but I say that that zero occurrence for me sound fairly punchy, but you aspire into it. Maybe give and take, but are you really going to get to that point? I don't know, but I leave with a question mark. It sounds like the shorthand that when we have to evaluate, we will use to evaluate whether you're achieving the results. So let me leave that aside. Chair, the small thing, the structure, the governance structure, it's a governance structure functioning quite well. Just want to check the issue of the board and these committees. I see the Ranaturam has a title of the acting chair. Now, I don't know the circumstances around that. Maybe it would be useful that to understand that governance structure, for that function. And Chair, I'm attracted to the 10,000 driver certification for the, but I'm curious to know 1,000. Why 1,000? Because somewhere I think in another document it moved from 1,000 to 3,000. So I was just asking, why 1,000? Maybe you can just explain the resource base. One thing I like is the column provide for resource. What resource is going to be utilized for that particular item. But now there are other areas where there is a zero resources. So I was asking, what's going to happen to that particular function if there is zero resources? Is that, does it mean we have to keep it to the core of the blocks, or just metal speaking? There's other resources for other functions in the very same presentation of the slide. There are areas where you would say it's a new baseline. Now, I was debating the new baseline, what you didn't explain, why is it new? Is it a new function? Is it a new area, identify area of work based on the strategy perhaps that you're talking about? Why is it new? Then in the book itself, the strategic annual performance and 2020, I see as well in the from page 43, I look at the quarter one, quarter two, and I see there's a dash. That means there is no delivery on that. And I ask, why is there a reason for it that you don't have a specific, are you not going to do anything in respect to that particular function for the next two quarters? You're only going to do it on the third and the fourth quarter. Now, there are a number of areas where you have the space, for the page 44, you have a gap in the quarter one, quarter two, and then suddenly at the quarter three and quarter four, you're going to jump and do something. What informs that? Is it linked to what you said? You need more personnel in the form of engineers to do that. But I also see, I think, about a couple of 18 million for professional services that I suspect is part of buying some capacity outside to do certain functions. So I just want to understand that part. If I go to page 45, I see more or less 44, 45, more or less the same. There is those kind of gap. If you could clarify some of those things, because it's a trend that runs through which we don't understand. Remember, we would like to be specific and understand when we keep you, because the committee would like to ask you, and after the first quarter, and third quarter, second quarter, and then ask you why have you not delivered. So, Chair, and I know it's late in the day, what are the collaborative strategy with PRASA, for an example? But we've seen the what they call an nerve center somewhere in Gauteng, in terms of the management of the signalers. What are the collaboration? Because even in that space, there's a number of capacity that is there. And let me leave it there, Chair. I know that I'm eating in the eat at the time.
Honorable Bishop. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will not repeat what you said. Is that the, you're being intimidated, Honorable Ramatlaka?
Serious objection on my left.
I'm not going to repeat what my colleagues have said, because they covered me. But on the issue of, I think just a comment, on the issue, I've not seen the board one that was loading the structure. Also, I think it's either by omission or just mistake in the, because I'm using the bigger document, the 1450 financial year is completely out. No, almost all pages. Can go to 34. And your baseline is 1340. I don't know whether you took it out deliberately or 1340 is supposed to be 1450 or what. It's just going across all the documentation. So I just thought it was just an omission or just an option. On the, I think on page 10, I think you were able to identify challenges like the expansion versus the lack of resources, but when you go down to what needs to be done, they don't come out very clear. Also bridging the technical knowledge experience with modernization and the old age rolling stock versus the new infrastructure. I think we're able to correctly pick them out, but as you go on what needs to be done in the 5 years, they are not coming out very clear. And then on page 15, I think my colleague has said something about the collaboration, but I think it should also go beyond PRASA, because you're talking about enhancing integration between road and rail-based services. So it means that Sandal, RTMs and others should take part. But as you go into your KPI, it doesn't come anywhere near. And also looking at your page 20 analysis, I'll just look up on the weaknesses and the external threats. You said there's lack of collaboration with other departments and municipalities. And then you also, I'm just speaking of a lack of a regulation overseeing the introduction of new technology. While you have identified, I think there's a whole lot of weaknesses there. I'm just speaking this to while you're able to identify them, I don't see them coming in. When you go to what needs to be done, KPI, something else can come out. So I think you need to have a column where, as you have then identified the weakness, what needs to be done. And then what will remain then is whether you have the resources and the capacity to do that. But if you identify that and just left them hanging, I think it will just be in the document. And then in your external threats, you have identified some of the issues which, of course, are not within your ambit. And then, but as you go down to the implementation, you then have a plan to implement them, which I think is going to give you difficulties because they don't rely on the land use planning issue. I've seen here you want to aggressively go and run. It's another department altogether. I think it's better to say you collaborate, you know, all the inputs, because also you become antagonistic and say you are going to form new forums, you know, to deal with those issues. You know, so you like antagonizing also while it's a government institution and government need to collaborate and work together. But then if you are going to form new forums to fight with the Department of Rural Development, you know, it will just give another impression altogether. And on page 21, I will just go over them, or just that I went through the document. On page 21, I like the way you have tabled your strategy, what needs to be done, and what. But as you go on down the line, your strategy or what you intend to do does not speak to what you wanted to do. You know, like you're saying, the federal strategy, high focus on execution and deployment strategies to ensure effective impact of the strategy. But as you go down there, influence the establishment of enactment of the national rail transport policy just out of your ambit altogether. I think it's the department will deal with the policy and other issues. I think as you go down, there's a few more, and maybe you might want to do that. And then, page 22, you are talking about correctly so, the threat of the introduction of the new technology. And as I think my colleague said about the nerve center, but also I think we are regulating the train also. So those are some of the new technologies. So I'm not sure how far you're collaborating with them in terms of transferring the skills and assisting each other, because it's a government entity also, the one or the other. Because you can't just put a statement here and then not come with an action, what is going to do. Because this document, remember, is a five-year plan. So you can't have it for 5 years and just saying it there as a statement and not come with action. How are we going to do that? The 1,000 train drivers, I think they phrased it, but I think to be more practical, you need to say how many train drivers do we have in the country, and then we can then work on just financially, with the resources that I have, I can only certify 1,000, 3,000. It will just make more sense if it's just like that. And then, I'm just going to pick two share on the regulation. I think it's page 47, let me just leave others. On page 47, on 2.2.1, I'm not sure whether you're going to be able to do the regulation, because you're saying a number of regulations developed and amended. Are you going to be able to do that? Or is it the department's responsibility? Because as you go down in your quotas, which you also going to use 1 million, I'm just going to use consultants maybe, and then the first quarter target population assessment conducted, cost benefit, the second quarter draft report, which takes 3 months, the third quarter, right now report. But I'm just worried that we might want to, when we come to report for the first quarter, want to hold you account for something that is not even within your ambit. Maybe we might want to work on it. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think others, I'll just give them my comments.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khatebe.
Honorable Khatebe, Honorable Prekoli, did you ask that? Quite, sure. No, thank you. Let's appreciate the presentation. It has woken us up, although we're a little bit tired. I could see the CEO is presenting. the minister, the deputy minister is like, yeah. Yeah, I had a person here. Yeah, it and, no, indeed, PM must say the CEO really doing the utmost best that we expect. My question relates to the issue of the maintenance of the assets. I'm trying to check in terms of the strategy that we're going to be able to use, but also in terms of ensuring that probably there's a lot of collaboration with the other stakeholders that you're going to use. Because if you can be able at least to find this collaboration, the maintenance of assets to be more simpler. Because I think it's one of the critical aspects in making sure that our systems or our assets are better than expected. The other issue is in relation to the issue of the platform. You know, there's this particular graph that you just mentioned that most of this platform, you know, reputation. I don't know how do we rectify this at all. Whose responsibility it is as well. Because Sakoshi, where there are more incidents, as we explained in terms of the strategic focus area 5, that these are the things that normally happen, and you can see that about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 areas that are very critical, of which that's where you find, you know, those challenges that are in the space in terms of those platform interface. I don't know. How do you deal with that, and maybe what's the plan? How far or when are going to these things going to project as well? But maybe lastly, you must also say, you know, I like the aspect of you collaborating with the NGOs, because it really says that because NGOs are normally allocated within the communities, so you get a buy-in from those communities in terms of ensuring that there's proper delivery. I wonder if as well you're already there or you're still going there, but as you promised with the strategic plan, I believe that you're going to deliver in terms of as your promise. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members, PM and the team. Welcome the presentation. My colleagues have talked on my behalf, but just as a matter of clarity seeking, on the issue of 1,000 train drivers, I was worried when I always see that on the baseline issue, new indicator, I asked myself, were there no train drivers that were certified before? Because it would be wise if we can understand the total number of train drivers that we have, and also have, if you have these 100 train driver to be certified by 2015-16, what will happen by 2016-17, so that we have all our drivers being certified. And also on the issue of on the organizational structure, good it is there, but I failed to understand your vacancy rate, because the CEO mentioned somebody who's on an acting position. It means there are also posts that are vacant. We must understand those that are vacant and also understand your target groups. If you have so many people as men, what is your target? In women, your target, in disabled, your target in what? There was a mention of unemployment equity that was recommended by the board of the regulator. But even if we cannot get the answers today, it would be good if answers can be prepared and be submitted to our secretary. More so, those ones that talk to numbers and whatever. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think my colleagues have said a mouthful, particularly Honorable Bushiello, on matters that are beyond your control, particularly on the historical analysis, as you have really mentioned. But I also wanted to say your sort of analysis somewhere, you're looking to external opportunities and external threats. Also, it will also be of help if we can also look internally to say what are the internal issues that may be an impediment towards execution of your job. But what my colleagues have really said, I really align myself with. It will be important that you go and rework, try and clean out the strategic plan so that it can be a document, a living document that you'll be able to use in the next 5 years. I also would want to go to the strategic plan of the department where it's talking about the public entities. I think it's page 70 probably, yeah, page 70. When you look at the RSR, there are 4 bullet points, which is a conducive regulatory environment, improved level of safety and security in the railway industry, sustainable institutional effectiveness, and then it gets repeated again. The second bullet has been repeated twice, probably a triple error, which can be corrected, and maybe if there's another for the fourth bullet that needs to be put in there, it gets put in there. Or if there's only 3 bullets that are supposed to be in terms of the output, it definitely has to be, because this is also a public document, because if somebody reads that there has been 2 outputs that have been repeated, it doesn't show that there has been quality assurance from the department, from the functionary of the department. So these are the things that I wanted to say. And let me say through you, GM, we really appreciate the presentation. And we appreciate the way the CEO and the board member are showing us that they're really hands-on. Even earlier on in the days, the 2 other entities that came, you could see that it's a collaborative work that has been done between the board and the functionaries. We appreciate really how this has been done, and I hope as we're going forward, we'll also see similar kind of things from the other board members in particular, and the CEOs, because they live this, they eat what is there for them to do. We must appreciate that the department is really doing good work, just correct here and there, and that's what really makes us happy. It tarnishes all the other things which you have seen as a native. When the whole day as we're working, we don't even feel tired. You can see how energetic members are, precisely because they're doing with what they need to do most. DM, let me take it back to you.
No, thank you very much, Chairman. Indeed, in fact, I think the member of the board says to us very energetic, and the CEO had to mesh, otherwise. No, thank you very much, and thank you for the comments raised by members. And we agree with Jefferson that just on our track plan there might be a need for us to bring an error some. I did go through it and I realized the need for some things like that, which we will do as a Department of Transport. I'm not talking about the track plan or APP for the Education Practice Department. There will definitely be such a need. Coming to some of the questions which was raised, Chairperson, I think what we have achieved when it comes to RSR is what I would refer to as stability in terms of their finances. And as such, we are now able to plan, knowing that at least they will be able to have an X amount of money. And I think that for us is an achievement. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have adequate finances, but at least they can plan on the basis that they know how much they're going to generate or how much revenue they're going to get during the financial year. That is quite good. Another issue that I think members raised, either directly or indirectly, is the issues related to occurrences or incidences, you say, resulting into people dying, be they struck by trains or some occurrences, level crossings, leading to people dying. And I think there are quite a number of sectors responsible for that, and I think one of the questions I made to say, but how are we collaborating with municipalities, for instance, because as a matter of fact, we have a problem, 80% of informal settlements that are mushrooming very close to our railway lines, and children playing, they're not knowing, struck by trains in rural areas, in southland areas, and this becomes a problem. And the special blending as well by our municipalities, and that is why I think our interaction with them is critical. But of course, coupled with that will be the issue related to stealing of fences where there were fences, and therefore making people easy to access our railway network, and therefore exposed to being struck by trains or whatever else that will lead to death or serious injuries. These are the challenges that we're facing and probably not being sure as to what to do. And I think that will lead to the questions that were asked by members related, for instance, to kill or theft. Chairperson, this matter is being addressed not only for the Department of Transport, but is something that is going to be sabotage or economic sabotage. And Cabinet has actually said we need to come up with a bill in this regard with minimum sentencing or whatever the term that the person must have is found guilty of taking stolen a cable tank or copper from either the railway line or anywhere else. And this is a matter that is being looked into, and I think it's a question that is key. Usually, it definitely will be private that therefore takes responsibility for such, but the regulator will have to see to private, for instance, your signaling is not tried and so on and so forth as the regulator, but it is the responsibility of private or Transnet, let me say, that doesn't show that we have all these things because they own the infrastructure, and that would be like that. I can't account for Makalanyana. Is I think the CEO will respond to that one. I was hearing about it for the first time, so I've learned. Magalanyan. I fully agree with the member of honorable member of ESS in that the organogram does not have the board. Surely it definitely must have board on top, and of course it must have someone, but. Yeah, I therefore will agree with you on that one, honorable member. The 13-14 baseline, because for now really it is only 13-14 figures that we have that have been audited. We've just completed the 14-15 financial year, and we have therefore we don't have figures that we can now immediately refer to as baseline. Yes, indeed. Remember, we started with this process last year, before the end of the financial year. So there's no way we could use the 2014-15 financial year figures. I don't have that. No, they can't. No, they don't. But they can't use the 2014-15 figures for this financial year, which starts on the 1st of April, because where do you get them from? You can't get them because you're not done with the reporting and so on. We can only do that when we have the audit report, and we don't have it yet. We'll only have the financial report by October and submit it to Parliament, and then by September and submit it to Parliament. And that is the information that is audited that we can use, and that is why we therefore use information for Unyaga Omunye, not in the immediate financial year, so depend, and therefore that is why it's 13-14 and not 14-15. And I think it's the same as all that. I'm just responding to that question. But I will allow the CEO and the board member to respond. I'm not sure whether they will not want to add anything from the department.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. There was a question asked on specific regulation, which is drafted by RR and regulation drafted by the department. In terms of the RSR Act, one of the objectives of the RSR is in fact to draft regulations. But obviously they'll develop the regulations as a municipal problem favoring two legislation. They cannot do that, they'll go through the department. And I think it's a pragmatic way of addressing it. The specific operational issues which relate to the RSR, those regulations in fact be drafted by the RSR and then submitted to the department. The department also drafts regulations. In fact, we'll be releasing a regulation probably at the end of April, which concerns the RSR tariffs and how we calculate those tariffs, which is national regulation. So both entities draft regulations, but the operational regulations, there's nothing strange about it. Because it sits on the ground, those regulations will be drafted and developed there, but obviously approved by the minister. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair, I'll just respond to the governance. Yes, it is true, there were some vacancies within the board up until I think about 3 months or 2 months. We have now filled the board in full capacity. We had, I think, 2 vacancies filled in the last sitting, and we're functional. So, yes, Mr. Poyer, we'll fill the organogram to indicate that the board does actually exist. Thank you. So on that matter, we comply with governance.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me maybe take, I think also just to say, in our presentation, on the overall big document, we do show the overall oversight organizational structure. And I must sincerely apologize that in our trying to reduce the number of slides, and I suppose what we'll try and do is to make sure that in future we do that. But I think also, most important, what was asked was around the issue of it would have been a proper and appropriate if we showed what vacancies that were there. And I think we'll try and update, maybe next time, make sure that we do provide that and present that. But technically, on most of our executive level, in terms of our, we don't have vacancies. Just to explain, the acting CFO, she's just representing the CFO because we had a family emergency. So he could not be here today, but he's around. So he's not around. It's just that Mapule, as a direct report to him, is representing him, and he is around. So there's no vacancies that we still have. Just on the... The program as a whole, that's why we're talking about the 50 people that we want to fill, and we will make sure that we will submit through each person that employment equity plan as a document which will share with the committee in terms of the categories what the board has expected in terms of us, and we will share the particular information in relation to that so that that can be understood in that manner. The one that I want to maybe also talk about is the issue that was raised around the train drivers. Currently, within the overall railway system, there's 4,415 train drivers. The reason why because we're starting with this activity, and it's a new indicator because it's not something that we have done before. It has never been on our strategy, so therefore can't draw a line and say you can take this from maybe the previous 13-14 strategies and be able to put it. So it's a new indicator, something new that we're doing. That we are getting involved in as a regulator, and we're doing that. You will see also the other question that's being asked is why the targets in the first 2 quarters sometimes are not there. Mostly in some of the new indicators, you'll find that some of the activities, because this is, we want this strategy to be an outcomes-based strategy. So we try and run away from enablers, things that we're actually doing to be able to do that. So what tends to happen is that also some of the activities will not be done already in the first 2 quarters of the year. So we could not show any activity in relation to that around, take one example, the issue of train drivers that will be certified. It will not be possible to certify any drivers in the first 2 quarters because what we're doing with finalization and going through the department the issue of the regulation, but also most importantly the issue of the system itself. So what we're showing on the document is mostly the outcomes or the outputs, things that we can hold on to, that are tangible, that we can achieve. So that's what we're doing in relation to that. It doesn't mean no activity is happening. At an operational level, there's an operational plan that is linked to the overall annual performance plan and their activities at an operational level, so that we don't mix tactical, operational, and strategic targets within the same document. The other question I think that was the issue around the awareness that we're actually doing, my honorable members. The awareness that we do with the communities, but most importantly with the issue of the staff riders and some of the things that relate to open doors. We are, through the technology, currently with the new trains that are coming through from Brussels, you will not be able to staff ride on those particular trains. So the design is in such a manner that you will not be able to do that. Because if you do that, when you go over the bridges, you will have a problem. But also to get on top of the train, you won't be able to get on top of the train. The design is such that it doesn't allow you the hanging to be able to hang. Currently what is done is that they hang on the edges and be able to get on. We have to make sure that the design is smooth enough so that you're not able to get on top of the particular train. But also in between, if you look at the new trains, what you call the buffers between the trains, because they're using those buffers to also get out of the train. The space between those buffers will not be sufficient for you to be able to have space. It will also remove the things people sitting between the buffers in terms of the train itself. So that all of those elements in the engineering design have been taken into consideration to deal with the issue. Even the issue of doors, the system has been put as such that the train will not depart if the door is not closed. So it will, the technical, the driver won't be able to start that train to move. Because you can't override that particular system. The train won't move. They can do whatever they want to him, the train will just not move if the doors are open. So we put in engineering elements to prevent human interface and be able to deal with some of the elements that we've looked at. Another question that was asked was around the issue of the inspection, how we do the overall inspection. Maybe what I can explain is that the technologies that they're using at the moment, which is the machine, it's called the IM2000 machine, where they do runs, they run and do assessment. But yet there is still a requirement for people to be able to do and walk a track, to be able to check some of the things, tighten up some of the bolts, and make sure that is happening. And this is the things that we are saying are easy, they're low-hanging fruit, they can be done. They don't need, but all what needs to happen is that you see in certain areas within depots, you will go to depot and you see people doing that. They're having the grease and they're making sure that the block joints and some of the things are greased. But you go to Gauteng, the management of that maintenance in Gauteng is not being done. And those are the things that can still be done. And we're expecting, obviously, I think what was being mentioned by the honorable member is the issue around, obviously, the age of some of those people, making sure that they're able to do the work that they are requested to do. But there is that element of making sure that the overall maintenance is also done. The collaboration, I think the other question that was being asked was around the issue of, do we collaborate? As a regulator, yes, we do collaborate, and our collaboration is around understanding the challenges as to why people don't do the right thing. In other words, understanding that, but at a certain point, you need not to be understanding. Because obviously understanding too much allows them the way to do. So at some point you need to be able to say, we're giving you 3 months, if you don't do this within 3 months, the trains in Cape Town are not going to run. So if they don't run, they don't come to us and complain. You must then answer when the public and everybody is crying, because we are trying to protect the public. Because if you continue to do the things that are wrong, the chances of you endangering the public are that high. So we've done that. I mean, we have, and Prasa is very much aware, especially in Cape Town. I can tell you, we come here in May again, and if they don't do what you say them to do, we're going to close them. Because we're protecting the public. We're making sure. And these things are not difficult things, Chairperson. We're not asking people to do things and wait for things from Germany to come. These are things that can be done. It's management. It's simple things that you can do. And we are saying, the regulator, normally when you stop, a particular service, everyone come down to that place, like in a factory shop when you're manufacturing Mercedes Benz. When something is not working on that line, you need to stop everything and go there, fix it within a day, and then everything else should not be a problem. But we're hoping we don't have to get to that stage, but we do have, we are being stern and saying to them they need to get the thing right. Because it cannot be that you wait for the new trains and then to change behavior. The new trains are not going to assist you to change that behavior. You need to manage, the management part of things need to be done to be able to move forward. Yes, I think the issue of security, I think the Deputy Minister did mention what is broadly being done. We are also looking at those things, and it's something we are looking at around issues of security in collaboration with the Railway Police. We represent, we are at the NRLCC, and we're looking at jointly with all the other stakeholders, Transnet, Plaza, ourselves and the Railway Police, where we look at strategies on how we deal with the issues around security. And those are the things that we're looking at around security. And the lack of maintenance of level crossing, this will also give, the inspections we do will give us an opportunity to also give what we call directives. Those improvement directives are normally 2 months, 3 months, and then you're supposed to make sure that you fix or rectify whatever that we found as a regulator that was inappropriate or substandard, as we call it. And then once you've done that, if you don't, then so the measure. So we will be dealing with the issues of upgrades or less maintenance on some of these. And the responsibility of that is the responsibility of the railway operator in terms of the signage. What the municipality has to take care of is the signage within their road, outside of the road reserve, of the rail reserve, where they deal with that a little bit far away from the actual level crossing itself. But that level crossing is supposed to be dealt with by the utilization of radio, local radios we have done. We are continuing to do it. And we are obviously only doing as much awareness as our money allows us to be able to do that. But we are collaborating with the local, with some of these local radio stations. And that's why when we talked earlier about the issues of trying to expand our reach and gain NGOs and stuff, because it will allow us to do a lot more in terms of engagement of the overall communities with a particular focus. The investigations that we do, we don't really do them with, they are done with operators, but it is done by ourselves. So whether an investigation is being done, it needs to be an independent investigation, and it is a properly arranged structure. Most of the time, if it's a board of inquiry, there's an independent lawyer, there's an independent firm of engineers, and we ultimately get to that. And those decisions of the board of inquiry are not going to be challenged, they are implementable. Because it's an independent that is done. Obviously, there are other levels, lower levels of investigations that are done by ourselves, but those are done, and ultimately the report will then be given to the operator for the operator to rectify. And we mostly don't, operators look at immediate causes. We're more interested about the root causes of the problem. Because, let me give an example, operators will say, 99% of the time when an incident has happened is the train driver. It cannot be that the train driver every time. What are the underlying root causes that made the train driver do what it did? Maybe somebody didn't supervise the train driver well. The train driver was not taken on employee assistance programs. There was no wellness. There was no medical surveillance that was done on the train driver. All of those things add to the overall problem, and therefore we look at the underlying root causes so that we can prevent such incidents from taking place in the future. The issue of the youth and employment, yes, maybe the next presentation will share that, but we do, as a regulator, work very closely with the financial facts we get. We got a confirmation of 750,000 that will be funded to us to be able to get internship program. So every year, TITA funds us, we get the funding, and we submit, obviously, with TITA, but also we have submitted through TITA, and they're also finding our training program for our junior inspectors. We've got what we call junior inspectors, they're junior engineers. actually not experienced in health, but they've got about a year or 2 years of experience. We take them through a program. We've got about 13 of them at this moment, which they can then be registerable with ACTA, the Engineering Council of South Africa. We take them through an effective program, and that, a part of that is being funded on the training side, in terms of the training courses with the University of Pretoria, the University of Vest, and ERCA is being funded by CHIDA. And we do that. And we also got these 18, which is a non-engineering internships that we actually have. And we did get the money for support of that. So that's how we do in our little bit around issues of youth development. The collaboration, I think, with the NASH Center in terms of PRASA, the way we collaborate most of our, we talked about the issue of the National Information Monitoring System, means our regulations and our status say you report each occurrence. When an occurrence has taken place, you report it within 15 minutes of that occurrence. So in other words, you tell the regulator in 15 minutes. So we obviously are very happy that PRASA has put up a NASH Center, because that NASH Center will report through our system. There's a central point of reporting. So that we then know that within 15 minutes you're supposed to report, and then within 24 hours there's supposed to be a full report of what that particular incident is, which is what we call a 24-hour report. So our collaboration with the effort that PRASA is putting in around the NASH Center is in that. But also we do appreciate that with the work that they are doing, of putting fiber and everything, they will have cameras at that NASH Center. And that will uplift the issues of security on the overall network. And we obviously are happy, because that would mean that there's an eye on the overall network on some of the critical areas of that. Yes, we also, I think, thank you, Natalie, we're also doing the issue of the, we've requested PRASA to actually finalize what we call a behavioral study. In other words, analyze the behavior, because there's been a lot of collisions there were before. And we worked on that and investigated. We saw that there's a particular pattern of a behavior of train drivers. And we asked them to be able to do a behavioral study of why train drivers at PRASA behave in the manner they behave. Before we come up with a solution, that's going to be an incorrect solution for that problem. And that study is currently underway, and we are looking forward to those particular results. One of the things I think that we also, our some of the weaknesses, I do note that we will look back. I'll go back to again. Some of the things we've looked at an operational level less than strategic, but most of the weaknesses around issues where we say there's a regulation. It might not be said in the same manner, maybe that's something we needed to do. It talks about technology reviews. But if you look at, I think, a slide, I think it's 2.2, one of the slides talks about the regulation that relates to, I think my colleague is going to put that up just now. But if the regulation is 3.1, it talks about the regulation for new or proposed construction or operation developed. Now that definition is what the act is, how the act defines it. And I think maybe what we need to make sure that maybe in brackets on the weaknesses, so that it's well understood that when we talk about technology reviews, it is that regulation that we are referring to, and our apologies that maybe have not cross-referenced, or at least it's not clear in the eyes of the reader in relation to that. And the issue of the forums, I think we do note, if it came out through each person that we become a little bit antagonistic in our approach, in our engagement of forums. It is not like that. The forums that we're looking at in terms of even the collaboration that we're having with Rustenburg Municipality, it is a collaboration of respect, a collaboration that says we need to engage with the municipalities so that we work together in dealing with the problems that we have. Because we know for a fact as a regulator, we go that far and we can't go beyond that. And we can only control what the operators do with the system. What the road authorities do over the railway, over the road, is something that the province or the municipality will be able to do. And those collaboration efforts are done. The only thing that we are doing is creating a platform, making sure that we at least try and arrange the meetings with the influence that we have of the Department of Transport. That is our own department, which will be able to then influence through their road department, so that those stakeholders will come in, and that's what we're actually looking at in relation to that. but it's more trying to create those forums. Also, yes, we do look at collaborations with the company in relation to the new technologies that they actually have, and we do look at those issues that that relate to the actual health rate. I think I've dealt with most of the questions. The one question maybe that I don't know if the CEO will want to also take it in relation to the issue of risk. It was raised earlier around what are we doing when we look at the regulation or our confidence issues around unqualified audit opinions and stuff. I think for us, we have really looked at that. We have adequate and effective controls. We've looked at the risk that we're looking at, and we're trying to do that. I don't know if you want to add a little bit, COO on that.
Well, maybe not. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, Deputy Minister. Maybe not an awful lot, but except to say there is a person who's appointed. We do have a chief risk officer, and I think for obviously as required every year we would do, we would identify our risks. But what we've actually done, as the CEO has explained previously, because we look at the internal risk, which then looks at the controls and ensuring that we do actually do the right things and we manage or mitigate the risks that are within the RSR. We also do have, we are actually in the process of getting an external risk, a senior manager external risk, who also look at the risks within the operator space as well. So I think it's an area that we have well within the RSR. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DMCQ, Commander and the teaching. I don't know if there are other follow-ups. I'm going to give you each 1 minute, 1 minute. Kilibak. We're here to do a job, anyway.
Yeah, but we're going to be getting on.
No. Thanks, Sharasan. I forgot to ask in the presentation, in the whole prepared document, there is no page maybe where you talk about the alliance or the compliance in terms of the NDP. The strategy is saying nothing is quite about the NDP. I don't know, maybe you don't understand. Because in your acronym is there, but there is nothing in the whole document about the your vision align with the NDP as the government strategy. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Ramadhan.
No, I will respect, I will be brief, but I do want to have a bit of conversation with the CEO on the assertion that some of the gap on the strategy in terms of the quarterly that you are not able to put them because they are operational asset. Now, I have a challenge with that because the operational strategy is management tool. It's not our tool. We're not privy to it. When we want to look at 131 in terms of your body book, we would like to understand the quarter and understand to see the gap that are there. So it can't be correct to say those that are not there is because it's operational. It is part of what we say in terms of your strategic document. The second point I just want to just see if I understand correctly. It may well be that it's a matter of detail. On page 45, there's 588 incidents that is referred to. But then we're talking about three occurrence investigation. I just want to understand, is this already been identified? Which area is a part of that information, part of what will be in the operational plan? How do we know which investigation you have conducted if we have not specified them in terms of our own kind of work that we do? Because if it's an operation in Cape Town, it's an investigation that has to take place because of that particular occurrence, surely it should be identifiable. should know, it can't be a matter of that is only known by managers that are going to conduct it. We would need to know it. Where is it going to be? If we want to interact with that report, we should be able to say, it is like this. It's a matter of when you report to say, we have conducted them. These are the audits conducted. We don't even know whether they are the same one that has been specified or identified. But if you have written them in this way, it means there is already identified incident that you think you need to investigate. And you need to write this report in. So I'm just saying, in writing it, you should be able to say, that particular incident that investigators have conducted is a Gauteng. This particular incident that we still have to. So we know, as the members of Parliament, as we know that we can then hold you to it. And as it is, it's a moving target. It can be anything. And I'm not saying that this is what you're saying, because I do think that you take your thing serious. But I just think that us as a reader, us as a people who has to have an oversight on it. So I can go on with the others. But I'm just saying that we want to know, and if you're saying that those activities have been done, but I'm not necessarily reflecting here, we will say that in quarter one and two, you're not doing anything. Because this law that's in line doesn't exist. It's not going to be done. So I'm just saying, having this conversation, I know that it's late in the day, but I just think that going forward, we should try and correct it so that we can put a little bit of meat. Help us, empower us with that information so that we can actually hold you to it. That's all I'm saying, and I don't know, I'm not nitpicking. I'm just saying, let's have a conversation about the response we get when we ask a question about some gaps in the document here.
Honorable Sibande.
Thank you. Chairperson, I'm indicate to some of the things talking to say, Makrani, and I wanted to remind you one day that remember we spoke about this, I said different things, no matter they didn't respond to why, because they know exactly what is it. And then let me come with you, but somewhere in one of the slides, he said, out of 13, I don't know what, only 9. He said at 13, only 9. And then we indicated that maybe perhaps, I don't know, much of the fake information about. My worry is, what's wrong with the other remaining one? If there is a challenge, what is the challenge? And then also, Jefferson, you see, when we talk about the risk management, we don't talk about the head, that who is deployed there. Mm-hmm. But we talk about who constitute it, who are those people, where do you have it, and who constitute it. Because you might have a person to say, who, Honourable Member Magazi is a chairperson of the committee. Yes, she is a chairperson of the committee, but there is a committee because we are there as committee members. But your response was very shallow. We didn't indicate whether you have that replacement or not. Because when we talk about money, we take about millions. And millions, they need proper monitoring. Then one of the questions, when I was asking you this thing about Lalam Kwenya, those were staff writing and the like, you said about the new system, of which the information we got is that they, at the moment, they are still waiting for the order of the new ones. They didn't yet, not yet come. What do you do at the meantime to safeguard those things? Because most of the time, the people who are affected are young kids, school kids, but to play the staff riding thing. And I will remind you, one day when I said asking this Makarayan and some of the staff, it's because I wanted to make a mark that one day I'll come back with some questions about those things. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
See you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. In terms of risk management, we, within the organization, have an audit and risk committee of the board. We have a risk unit that looks at risk activities. We also, as part of our discussions within ESCO and the Executive Committee, and even the reports that are submitted at ESCO, the reports that are submitted at ESCO have a risk element to it. Even our operational plan identifies the risks and they put mitigating measures on how to then mitigate those identified risks. And then we weigh up those risks around the issues of significance and impact that those particular risks can bring to the overall organization. So I want to say through each person that the issue of risk is something that we know. We know our risks both externally and internally, and we have put mitigating measures to be able to prevent those risks from impacting negatively on the overall organization and the overall business. The other issue that I want to add.
Sorry, can I also just add, part of the responsibility of the committee, we provide oversight in terms of risk management. So the board will also then establish the appetite regarding what strategic risk the management presents. So once they decide or look at the organization's risk member, the board will then adjudicate and say, look, in terms of what our strategy is, whether we're going to keep them, transfer them, or we're going to terminate, these are the issues that you think we have an appetite for. When you were talking about the security issues earlier on, that is the concern that we've raised in terms of, let's say, the top 10 issues that we talk to management in terms of what our strategies are. So it is integrated. It starts with even at OS committee level, and reporting does happen from the lowest level of the organization right through to the board. So in terms of governance, I think maybe it's just how we package this. Probably what we need to start doing is report on the strategic risks so that they are identified, and then you can see is the actual traction in terms of what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. Then also the issue around the human factors. I think that's the slide which talks about the 9 out of 15 elements of the human factors that we're talking about. The reason why 9, not 15 out of 13, that we're going to check is that we agree with the industry that 100% compliance is expected in 2016. We're in 2015 now, we haven't done this for 5 years. When we took the agreement in 2011 and when we implemented the strategy or the standard, and that's why we talk about 70% compliance, which we've identified then as 9 out of 13 elements that we are relying to in relation to that. So those are the things that I think we have shared, honorable members, in relation to that. Then the other one is the issue of, I think, the 3 investigations. I think, point noted, when we talk about incidences that need to be reduced in relation to those mainly happen on the what we call Trasa A corridors. And those 3 investigations are looking at those 3 corridors, one in Gauteng, one in Cape Town, and the corridor that will be happening in the Kwamashu corridor in KZN. And we know if we do those 3 investigations on those corridors, it will give you an indication, give us an indication of what we're ultimately talking about as it relates to this, in terms of the incidents. Then, I think we do note, to you, Chairperson, that we thought let's not put together some of the things that are versus the strategy, and we didn't think we should put them, but I think the point is noted around some of the areas where we've left as nothing being done in those 2 quarters. And we say nothing is being done at the strategic level. And we say we do note the concern. I think it is something that we will take with us, and moving forward, we will ratify that on November, and then maybe make sure that at least we don't sell ourselves short, and also in relation to share with the members so that they also have a full appreciation of what we are doing. We will be able to do that. And I think we do take that point, and we will make sure that moving forward that is being done. Our issue around NDP, because we are a regulator, we have looked at the elements of the NDP, and we do what we do as a regulator through our operators. So we do, there are effectively elements of where we assist in making sure that they do create, for example, the issue of technology reviews. When we shared with you that we look from the overall life cycle management. And one of the areas we look at is for them to make sure that they have locally developed people to be able to maintain this, but also the quality of the standard of those people is correct. And they need to have that. And that's why I would engage SAPS so that what Prasa has said that they will do around local content, in actual fact, that they're true to that and able to look at. So we come really in terms of NDP and some of these a little bit behind just by creating the environment for them to make sure that they're able to thrive. So we do look at them. They might not be seen specifically out of our strategy, but they are part of our overall pillars in terms of our foundation, in terms of making sure that when we look at those four pillars, as I've mentioned earlier, that we're able to look at those. And I think the other question is around, from honorable member, around the issue of staff riding. It is a challenge, and I think I'll be the first one to say it is quite a serious challenge, and it is something that we're looking at it from a security and a station management point of view. Because obviously, you can only get on the particular staff that train technically from a station unless it's standing on the line. But what we're looking at is, right, is all of those areas, and to our security element of our business, and what we're looking at, we'll be able to look at that. And this is something we will look at, and I think it is a point that is noted, we will take with, but it is something we'll look at when we are dealing with the issues around cloud management and security management as we're dealing with it around the particular stations themselves. Yeah, with the operator. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. DM, do you have anything so that we can be able to lose? Let me, before you DM, say, Honorable Bushielo and Honorable Ramakrishnan, the issues that you have raised, the gaps that are there that we have identified, for sure, let's give ourselves time and be able to just leave them out and then send them to the department for the attention of RSR so that they can be able to see the gaps that we have identified as a committee. Because indeed, when you look at this whole thing, some of them may not necessarily be the gaps like we're indicating the regulations and he has so clearly and eloquently responded to. Some of them, you should be able to maybe respond to us to say these are the things and this is how we believe we're going to be operating. Obviously, maybe other questions that you believe that you have not responded adequately, we will also request you to say the same, looking the same breath and the same aim, where you believe that you want to fill members of the committee up in terms of the issues that have been raised. We would really appreciate that.
Thank you, Chair. We accept what the Chairperson is saying. We're looking to that and be able to provide some answers to the Portfolio Committee. And I think let us thank the Portfolio Committee for the engagement we've had with us. It actually prepares us for another process as we'll be preparing our next financial year our plan. And thank you for that. Chairperson, the RSR is piloting, and I think the CEO referred to the piloting the use of traffic lights at desert crossings. They've identified, I think, two level crossings, and that will be in Rustenburg, a very busy one, and another one in Delmas in Mpumalanga, not because I come from Mpumalanga. And then they probably want to have two here in the Western Cape. So that therefore, I wish the Portfolio Committee could find time just to visit once. It's quite interesting. And because their pilot studies will know at the end of the term allocated by RSR as to whether it's something that we can roll out throughout the country. And if it was to assist us to reduce these fatalities, we would be very happy because even as it is 394 fatalities, that's a lot, as a matter of fact, Chairperson. If you combine these figures with the road accidents that we have in South Africa, then it's quite a number of people that are dying per year. And we want to reduce this, and we use whatever technology or whatever measures that is at our disposal in order to reduce this. There is no way RSR will be able to achieve this as RSR alone. Has got to lead it, of course, working together with operators. But of course, we definitely need the support of other stakeholders, your municipalities, provinces, and civil organizations, but of course our communities. It will be important that we get the buy-in from them so that we can actually reduce these fatalities. At the same, I want to thank you very much for this opportunity and the engagement you've had. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I think we shall meet next week. We'll be doing exactly the same exercise on Tuesday until the start. Oh, tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow, yeah. I thought it's Friday today. Well, tomorrow we'll be having three entities. We know that there are members who actually have got flies to catch. So we're going to be very business like. I'm not going to allow talk shops. No members, sorry to the questions. Your meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, DM and the team. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we are starting at 9. Please be punctual. Thank you.